And we're back. You're listening to Money Talks, Atlanta's longest-running, most respected money show on the radio. Here with Dr. Gene and Troy Harmon. I'm Matt Hames. And we're going to jump back into some questions. We've covered a lot of things today.
Do we have Crazy Train still on there?
Crazy Train's on here somewhere.
I want to get into this with something. You know what I'm talking about?
All right. It's good to know you like Green Day better than Michael Jackson. Okay, so that's good. I'll start looking for Crazy Train.
Look for Crazy Train right now if you can, if you would. Troy and I got this question. And then what we're going to fake a break, and we're going to come back with Crazy. You just see how it works, how good that is. All right? Troy, I got a question for you. This is from Rosalind in Dallas.
Okay.
Having several family members who have survived cancer, I'm interested in companies that do research and provide medical devices and diagnosis for cancer. I've come across Kite Pharma, that's K-I-T-E, and Genomic Health. I know they're not your normal big pharma companies, but I appreciate their focus. What do you think of these two, Troy?
Yeah, absolutely. They are focused on cancer treatment and detection, that sort of thing. Kite Pharma is a clinically staged biopharmaceutical company, so it's, you know, providing drugs for cancer immunotherapy. The problem that I have with Kite is it IPO'd June 20th of 2014.
Yeah, oh my
as
gosh.
Such. Yeah, it doesn't have any earnings. There's hardly anything that I can tell you about the company as far as its financial statements. I can tell you that it's well-funded. We got, you know, quick ratios, which is the short-term assets divided by the short-term. Right. Where am
Finance
I?
101.
Have you seen me lately?
Finance
exactly.
101.
Exactly. Yeah. So here we go. Here we go. From there, they don't have any debt, but it's just a speculation. I don't think that I would. You
Forget
know, it's
that.
Too much risk. But right. Genomic Health, which is the other company that she talked about, is it's been around a little longer, but it's basically in the same situation. And not only that, they've got negative earnings before interest and taxes.
Even negative the earnings is called losses.
Well, in some circles. the
if
other thing
with,
is,
if you're a company with losses, you have negative earnings.
Exactly. Long-term growth is expected to decline by 20% over the next 3 to 5 years. I would not buy either one of these.
There's an option.
Yeah,
do you have any recommendation for the company?
Absolutely, yeah. I tell you what I would rather see you do is buy Johnson & Johnson. They're in the middle of the cancer research, which, you know, a lot of companies are. It's a big company, obviously. It is not going to make as much difference if Johnson & Johnson discovers some breakthrough drug as it would for either one of the companies that she had mentioned. However, you know, they've got long-term growth at about 6.5%, a return on assets at 13%. I believe, really, you're going to have a better investment
I use Johnson & Johnson as an example of what happens if you would have invested in it, let's say, 20 years ago.
Right.
And reinvested the dividends. And this number is scary.
Right.
It just freaks you out.
Yeah.
All right. You have Crazy Train?
Curtis is telling me we've hacked Crazy Train over here. I couldn't find it on the board, but I think we got it. So
I'm just telling you right now.
Just so you can
let's
hear
pretend
some.
We're coming back from break and we want some energy.
I consider you one of my most valuable long-term investments. And when it comes to my investments, I always do my homework.
That'll get you pumped, won't it? Little Ozzy Osbourne biting the head off a chicken. Come on. Go back to the good old days.
I thought he preferred non-domesticated animals. I'm not sure. Maybe
chickens, bass.
Whatever. All right.
All right.
We're back.
We're back again.
All right. I have a question from Mindy in Austell. My husband's 55. He has a permanent life insurance policy in place for 15 years. Since this is permanent insurance, can we just keep this in place as he gets older? The policy also has cash value. Is that taxable if we surrender the policy? Okay. Bunch of questions there.
Yeah.
The word permanent life insurance is meaningless. I can buy you insurance that you can have the rest of your life as you need it through term, but this is called whole life. Or what else would it could be?
Universal.
Could be universal. Yeah. Big difference between the two also.
Big difference between the two. And, I mean, I think the big question here, what I think the point that you're in the process of making, Gene, is that when you think about permanent insurance, it's oftentimes sold just that way. but nothing's really permanent. They quote unquote guarantee it because they're allowed to say that. But if the cash value, the underlying cash value, the assets in the policy don't perform a certain way, or if the premiums aren't paid and many times increased and then paid, then the policy's at risk of lapsing. So her question here, I would even preface the real question with, well, first of all, you don't need to assume. I mean, what did she say here, that it's been in place for 15 years? You need to look at permanent life insurance about every 24 to 36 months and just get in-force illustrations, check and make sure the policy's performing as it should. Otherwise, you're going to get surprised. And you'll get this letter in the mail from the insurance carrier that says, hey, you know what? In order for this to really last as long as we thought it would, your premium needs to go up a little bit more. And you don't want to get caught in that situation, because oftentimes by the time that happens, you're older, maybe you've had a health situation, and getting underwriting to change it
right.
may be difficult.
I always try to point out is that you need the most life insurance when you're young. And that would be when your last kid is born, okay? You need the most life insurance you're ever going to need in your life, because if you died that day, you need to leave enough cash to provide an estate that generates enough income to educate, to take care of your family.
Right.
Every year you live, you need less life insurance.
Right.
And at some point in time, you may not need any life insurance.
Right. Sure. If your assets are sufficient to cover the remainder of your life and those that
consequently,
you leave behind.
We tend in general, okay, not in every case, mm-hmm. to prefer that somebody earn term insurance.
Sure.
And my bet would be at 55 years of age, this guy could buy
cheap term insurance.
Cheap term insurance. What would happen if you pulled the cash value out of that?
So, and at the risk of sounding too much like an insurance agent, well, it's going to depend. So here's the explanation.
A lawyer.
Right? Yeah, or a lawyer, whatever you want to call me today, right? So it depends. As you pay in premiums into a permanent life insurance policy and cash value is accumulated, you develop a cost basis. So the dollars that you've put in, to the extent you surrender a permanent policy and pull out that cash value,
If it doesn't exceed what you put into it,
then there's no taxability to it. All right? To the extent it has gained value and it has performed well, maybe it was a variable contract and was invested, or it's earned interest, the difference in what you've put in it versus what you pulled out of it
would be taxable.
At ordinary income.
It's not a capital gain.
Right. It's ordinary income.
I'd be willing to bet you at the age 55, they could probably, just a guess, they could probably pull out all of it or close to all of it and not pay any taxes on it. They could take that money and buy a 10-year term, get them to 65,
sure.
or a 15-year term, mm-hmm. get them on out there
yeah.
for less than the premiums that he's paying now for the whole life.
No question.
And that means the cash is now can be invested somewhere.
That's right.
It can be put into your 401k to grow. So, I mean, this is...
Well, very candidly, I'm going to tell you, the most efficient way to have death benefit or have life insurance is term.
Right.
There's so much more going on in a universal or in a whole life policy that taxes that cash value. And I hate to use the word tax because it's not a true tax.
Costs are drawn against it.
That's right. So, you know, there's a lot working against a permanent policy. Now, there are uses for it, and there's appropriate times to have permanent insurance. I don't want to say there isn't.
No. I mean, it exists. And the argument that typical life insurance thing would be, well, Joe Blow, this millionaire, he's got $20 million with a whole life. It's good enough for Joe Blow. Why isn't it good enough for you? I mean, I've heard this argument,
I'm sure.
this kind of thing.
Oh, yeah.
And so you need to have whole life. Well, the reason you need to have whole life is because the commission is going to be higher for that guy.
Well, true. And philosophically, right? And I mean,
but if you have a lot of money,
mm-hmm.
then a cash value life insurance can cost you less after taxes.
Yes.
Than a regular term policy or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And it can't. So if you got plenty of money, okay? Again, our number is 770-429-9166.
That's right.
Hey, this is what I do for a living.
Right. Yeah, I can tell.
And I'll tell you, the takeaway here is this isn't a set it and forget it thing.
No.
Number one, you know, philosophically, and I've cut my teeth working for you all these years, Jim, insurance is not an investment. Okay?
That's right.
Insurance is there to mitigate risk, so you want to do it as efficiently as possible. Hence, we think term.
The first thing that we look at when someone comes in and say, I need a plan, the first thing we check is your health insurance, your disability insurance, and your life insurance, and those have got to be adequate before we want to invest a dime of your money in anything else. And
that's
so
right.
We may just simply say, do this, do this, do this, and come on back in 3 years
when you've got adequate, it's all in place,
and then let's talk about growing your money.
Right.
All right. Well, listen, it's been a slice of heaven, as always. And if you want to call us with questions, you've got the number 770-429-9166. But you can email us at drgene@hensler.com.
So you got a question?
Yes, I do. This is for Troy. This is Will from Kennesaw. What happened to UPS? Okay. It's been a long time holding for me, and the price just got killed on Friday. I still have gains in the stock. Do I sell while I can? Okay, sounds like some of our clients. Or is it worth holding on to?
I hope he hasn't jumped yet. Actually, I mean, what happened to UPS? Just as well start there. They came out. They haven't announced earnings. They pre-announced, basically, and said that they were going to miss their previous projection, which was, I think, between 9% and 13% growth in 2015. And the reason that they did, basically, the company spent a lot of money to try to meet the demand around Christmas
Year. They overbuilt in trucks and farms and people and everything else for the crush so they wouldn't get ruined like they did in 2013.
Yeah, so unfortunately, here we are 2 years in where we've totally missed this new change due to technology. And the change due to technology is folks that are shopping using the Internet instead of going out and buying it at the store. So, yeah, absolutely. It's a frustration. They're going to miss earnings. They're still expected to grow at about 10.5%, which is, you know, pretty good. It's better than
chopped liver, they say.
Right. It's better than we would expect the market to grow. I mean, the earnings to grow overall this year. So, you know, the company's still going to be growing ahead of earnings. If you look at some of their price ratios.
And when their earnings do come out, since they pre-forecast, it will probably go up.
I wouldn't be surprised. Quite often that happens.
Yeah.
You know, the company's still got a return on assets of about 10.2%. It's better than FedEx, their nearest competitor, which is around 7%. They've got a lower average cost of capital, which a lot of this, and Gene, we talked about this on the air a few weeks ago, is because they've got a lot of debt. Now, it means that they're riskier probably, especially if there was a economic slowdown coming, and we don't really expect that right now. They've got a 217% debt-to-equity ratio, which is really high, especially looking at FedEx at 30.4%.
Well, they've got lumpy capital expenditures, too. You think about that in terms of they have jets all over the place. How do you think they get something from San Francisco to you in 2 days?
Right.
Okay.
Logistics.
So the bottom line is they may have to buy an extra plane for that route, that period of time, and that's, I don't know, $100 million or something else like that. So they're not chump change. It's not like you have to buy another brown truck.
Exactly.
There's some big expenditures.
Exactly.
And they may have to start even new hubs. I don't know.
Yeah.
But there's a lot of capital investment that goes into moving this stuff around.
Exactly. You know, all things considered, the company's still paying a dividend. It's not in jeopardy. There's about 2.6% right
now. Keep the stock.
Yeah, absolutely. I would hold UPS. You might even want to consider buying more since it's, you know, looks like it's
on sale.
On sale, exactly. You got a 10% discount.
It's the only market I know in the world is when the prices go down for something, people want it less.
Exactly. It is strange, but that's absolutely the truth.
Cut prices 10% on Mercedes, and they're knocking the walls down.
All right.
That's right. And let's talk about that in just a few minutes.
And we'll answer some of your questions, and we'll be right back.
Sounds good.
All material presented is compiled from sources believed to be reliable and current, but accuracy cannot be guaranteed. The contents are intended for general information purposes only. Information provided should not be the sole basis in making any decisions and is not intended to replace the advice of a qualified professional, such as a tax consultant, insurance advisor, or attorney. Although this material is designed to provide accurate and authoritative information with respect to the subject matter, it may not apply in all situations. This is not to be construed as an offer to buy or sell any financial instruments. It is not our intention to state, indicate, or imply in any manner that current or past results are indicative of future profitability or expectations. Portfolio holdings discussed are subject to change. There is no guarantee that in the future these securities will be held in Hensler accounts. As with all investments, there are associated inherent risks. Please obtain and review all financial material carefully before investing. Hensler is not licensed to offer or sell insurance products. This overview is not to be construed as an offer to purchase any insurance products.